Nearly 100 Palestinians are killed in the latest round of Israeli strikes on Gaza. The overall death toll from the aggression is approaching 32,000. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to launch a ground invasion of Rafah in a gesture of defiance against calls to stop the genocide in Gaza. The Netherlands, the UK, and several other European countries witnessing fresh protests against the ongoing U.S.-Israeli war on Gaza. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Some 5 months into the Israeli genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, the regime continues pounding the blockaded territory with indiscriminate airstrikes and artillery fire. The Gaza Health Ministry says at least 92 people were killed and 130 wounded over the past day. At least 12 were killed in an Israeli strike on a residential building in Deir al-Bala. According to the ministry, Israel prevents medical teams from reaching victims who are still under the rubble. Israeli jets, meantime, continue bombing residential buildings across the coastal strip, including Gaza City. The suffering is not limited to just being targeted by bombs. According to UNRWA, malnutrition and famine are also striking northern Gaza and are now moving to southern areas. Since the beginning of the Israeli war in early October, 31,645 Palestinians have been killed, most of them women and children. Okay, now, Motia Abu Musabba, our correspondent, is there for us, covering all those atrocities and crimes being committed against Palestinians in the central city, Gaza city of Deir al-Bala. Let's see what Motia has for us.
Well, Behrouz, actually, let's begin with the latest statement of the spokesperson of Gaza's civil defense system, as he stated that at least 400 Palestinian civilians have been killed from the Palestinian civilians who were waiting for the humanitarian relief to reach Gaza after many Palestinian injuries succumbed to the wounds they sustained over those attacks, I mean, near the eastern and the western parts of Gaza City, particularly in or around the Al-Kuwait and Annabulsi roundabouts. As you know, that the Israeli occupation forces committed several massacres against the Palestinian civilians while they were waiting for those humanitarian aid heading to Gaza City. And this number is highly expected to rise as many injuries are still suffering from the critical injuries they sustained over those attacks. In the meantime, the Israeli warplanes continued decimating and attacking Gaza Strip. Several areas of the Gaza Strip were hit by the relentless Israeli airstrikes over the last couple of hours. Here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli warplanes attacked multiple residential buildings in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp and in Al-Mughraga neighborhood located in the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. More residential buildings were destroyed over those attacks. And in the meantime, even in Gaza City, the Israeli warplanes also renewed their airstrikes against Ash-Shaja'iyya neighborhood. Multiple residential buildings were also destroyed over those attacks. And when it comes to Khan Yunis City, the Israeli occupation forces maintained destroying and blowing up more residential squares, particularly in the eastern part of Khan Yunis City, Al-Karara neighborhood. More residential squares were blasted using the explosive devices by the Israeli occupation forces in that area. In the meantime, the artillery shelling was renewed also against the eastern part of Khan Yunis City. It's worth mentioning that over the last couple of hours, also the Palestinian paramedics and the Palestinian medical staff evacuated and extracted at least five Palestinian dead bodies of those Palestinians who were killed when the Israeli occupation forces were attacking Hamad City and Hamad neighborhood located in the western part of the city. So we are talking about continuous airstrikes are still decimating and attacking attacking Gaza Strip, destroying more residential buildings, and taking more lives of the Palestinian civilians.
All right, Muti, we've seen reports that a limited number of trucks, 5 or 6 trucks of bread or flour, have been able to, I don't know how they have been able to kind of get flour and bread to the northern part of Gaza. I wonder if any such aid has come your way where you are.
Yes, actually, these trucks moved from the south, the southern part of Gaza Strip to the north, as you know, that they passed through the central area of Gaza Strip, and they are the first trucks and the first humanitarian aid to be allowed to reach or to arrive the northern part of Gaza Strip in 4 months. They are the first to arrive there for 4 consecutive months, and according to the dire need that the Palestinian civilians there are living and experiencing, they are nothing. I mean, these humanitarian trucks, because when we are talking about limited numbers of those trucks or limited amounts of those humanitarian aid compared to the dire need of those people, they are just like a drop in the ocean, because the need is too dire, and I mean that the starvation is still hitting there in the northern part of Gaza Strip and Gaza City, because as you know that according to the UNRWA, that 2/3 of the Palestinian children there are suffering from the malnutrition and dehydration. So the people there actually urgently need continuous and smooth flow of those humanitarian aid and necessities and supplies. And they also need a real ceasefire in order to guarantee that this humanitarian aid would be delivered and would be guaranteed to reach the people who are in a dire need for them.
All right, thanks for that live update. Muti Abu Musaba, our correspondent, live for us in Deir al-Bala, Gaza. Now, the head of the World Health Organization calling on Israel not to launch a ground offensive on the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where 1.5 million displaced Palestinians have sought shelter. Tedros Ghebreyesus said that the escalation of violence in Rafah would lead to many more deaths and suffering. He called on Israel to refrain from the attack in the name of humanity. Tedros added that people in Rafah are too fragile, hungry, and sick to be moved around. On Friday, the Israeli Prime Minister approved plans to attack Rafah despite increasing international calls not to do such a thing. A senior leader of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says that the group is waiting for a response to a ceasefire proposal from Israel and the U.S., the regime's main accomplice in the Gaza genocide. Osama Hamdan says the initiative put forward by Hamas is a realistic one with clear details. It provides for a swap of captives in Gaza and Palestinian abductees and the pullout of Israeli forces. Hamdan said that the Palestinian movement during negotiations called for an end to the war, the return of the refugees, the dispatch of aid, and the beginning of the reconstruction of the Strip. Hamdan touched upon the divisions within the Israeli regime on the war and added that Tel Aviv has achieved none of its declared objectives, despite the atrocities it's committed in Gaza. He said Hamas has told the intermediaries that acts of aggression against Gaza must stop. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that the regime will proceed with a planned ground offensive in Gaza's southern Rafah city. He criticized Israel's allies for what are called having a short memory. Now, the comments came despite growing international concerns about a war in Gaza and domestic criticism of his handling of the war. On Sunday, Jordan and Germany warned that an Israeli ground attack on Rafah would worsen humanitarian conditions in the southern Gaza Strip. The UN World Health Organization chief also urged Israel not to launch the assault. Meanwhile, a former Israeli military commander said that Israel has already lost its war against Hamas. Yitzhak Brick said, "What's happening in the Gaza Strip and Lebanon will blow up in our faces sooner or later." Now, people in different European countries continue to voice solidarity with Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. In the Netherlands capital, hundreds of pro-Palestine demonstrators gathered outside the National Holocaust Museum for the second time since last week.
Occupation!
The demonstration came as a delegation from the Israeli regime was visiting the National Holocaust Museum. Protesters held pictures of the children killed in the Israeli bombings in Gaza. They called for an immediate end to the genocidal war. In another European capital, London, people displayed support for Palestinians in a rally against racism. They called for an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Also in Italy, hundreds of rallies gathered in Milan in support of Palestinians. They held signs reading, "Stop the genocide in Gaza and stop arming Israel." The German city of Berlin was also the scene of a massive rally.
We are here to demonstrate for Palestine, and I think it's not only about Palestine here, it's also about showing our anger towards the German media and the German politicians, because they have a lot of power and they decided to take a side. And even they use sometimes some wars for a human crisis or something like this. I can't believe it. I have the feeling that it's just an empty wars.
The protesters demanded an immediate ceasefire. They carried blood-stained small mock body bags in reference to the large number of children killed in Gaza. In the Austrian capital of Vienna, thousands took to the streets to slam the Israeli genocide. The demonstration was part of the Israeli Apartheid Week, called by the BDS movement, which promotes boycott against Israeli products and multinational companies linked to the regime. The protesters taking part in the rally said that the European governments are complicit in the Israeli crimes. U.S. President Joe Biden warning that freedom and democracy is under attack, and that after former President Donald Trump suggested a bloodbath in the case of losing the fall election. Biden was speaking at the Griodon Club dinner, which was packed with journalists and politicians. He said that Trump's lies about a 2020 election, the plot to overturn it, and to embrace the January 6 attack on the Capitol have posed the greatest threat to America's democracy. President Joe Biden's campaign also stated that Trump wants another January 6 to happen. On Saturday, Republican nominees for U.S. President Donald Trump said if he doesn't win the fall election, America would never have another election in the country.
If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. If this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country. Does that make sense? I don't think you're going to have another election in this country. If we don't win this election, I don't think you're going to have another election, or certainly not an election that's meaningful. And we better get out, or we better...
Trump was addressing a gathering of GOP supporters in Ohio, urging the people to vote for him in the November presidential election. Trump lashed out at his Democratic rival and incumbent President Joe Biden, saying that he has destroyed America's economy. He said that Americans will not enjoy proper Social Security, medical, and other welfare services with Biden in office. Campaigning has intensified in recent weeks, with Trump and Biden attacking each other's record and character. A new pro-Palestine rally has been organized in Italy. This as the Italian defense minister has confirmed his country's arms exports to Tel Aviv have continued despite a block announced last year. Max Cibili reports from Rome.
On Saturday, thousands of people joined a new rally in the Italian capital, organized, among the others, by the Movement of the Palestinian Students and the Association of the Palestinians in Italy. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide, also saw the participation of high school students and families. People at the rally strongly condemned Italy's unwavering support to the Israeli regime.
Italy, that claims to be a democratic nation, is a country where the government goes against the people's will. Profits always come first, even when a genocide is taking place. I'm teaching my kids to never give up the fight and to never accept being submitted.
The Italian Defense Minister Guido Crosetto has recently said that Rome has continued to export arms to Israel despite assurances last year that the government was blocking such sales following Tel Aviv's invasion of the Gaza Strip. Some Italian media reports recently revealed that despite the Italian government's denials, the value of arms sales to Israel more than tripled in December 2023 compared with the same month in 2022. And December last year was the peak of Israeli bombardments on the Gaza Strip.
Western governments have been systematically supporting Zionism and Israel's criminal regime, notwithstanding the protests against Israel's crimes that have been taking place across the globe. Italy's support to Tel Aviv must stop once and for all.
A solution to the onslaught in Gaza could be found if the international community stopped militarily supporting Israel. Italy, on its side, has been actively arming Israel through companies such as Leonardo and others. If we don't make sure that the Palestinians' right to self-determination is protected, and nothing will ever change.
Earlier this week, more protests and initiatives in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians were held in several Italian cities, including Milan and Naples. Max Civili, Rome.
And with that, we come to the end of this broadcast.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime is intentionally starving people in the Gaza Strip, which has resulted in full-scale famine in the besieged territory. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Tharifa Hamad is in her 70s. Although she has witnessed a huge amount of brutality in her life, she has never experienced anything worse than the current genocide by the Zionist regime. It is the first time that she has ever suffered from extreme hunger. Tharifa stayed in Beit Hanun, northern Gaza, for a number of months after the Zionist regime declared its war during October. Yet in recent weeks, the situation became so serious there that she moved southwards. For 2 months, Tharifa had to bake bread using animal feed. She said, "We had no other choice, otherwise we would die of starvation." As they lacked fuel, Tharifa and her husband had to burn their own furniture and clothes so that they could cook a little bread. Flour and other food items have been unaffordable when they can be found in markets. A can of peas has been priced at $8 in the north of Gaza recently, whereas it would sell for only around 25 cents before the war was declared. Apart from bread made with animal seeds, Farifa and her husband have had to eat leaves from trees and paper. For the few days before she left northern Gaza, Farifa had nothing but salt. She said, "The salt raised my blood pressure. I began to feel dizzy and I could not see clearly." She added, "I didn't know if I should keep eating salt and die of high blood pressure as there was no medicine in the city, or should I stop eating salt and die of hunger?" Farifa's journey to southern Gaza was arduous. As Farifa was weak, her husband had to drag her on a wooden panel for hours on end. He had to stop and rest every so often. Farifa fainted in the last hour of the journey. Some people came to her aid and sprayed her with water. When she regained consciousness, she drank some water and ate a few dates that people they had just made gave to her. Farifa and her husband were given more food when they arrived at Deir al-Balah refugee camp. She said, "My tears started falling when I saw some real bread. I had nearly forgotten what it tasted like." She was able to eat sandwiches containing meat from a tin, cheese, and hummus. She said, "They tasted delicious." Khaled, Amir, and Saad are three children whose parents were killed by the Zionist regime during the current genocide. For months afterwards, they had just one meal per day. It consisted of fried potatoes, often potatoes that were rotting, or bread soaked in water. They obtained a little flour when eight trucks managed to enter the northern part of Gaza. The flour was leaking from an aid truck. It was just enough to bake a little bread, the first fresh flour-based bread that Khaled tasted in more than 2 months. Khaled took a major risk to obtain that small amount of flour. The truck from which he got the aid had been driven to Arashid Street, southwest of Gaza City, on February 29th. The Zionist regime killed at least 118 Palestinians waiting for aid on that day. For a number of days, the children had nothing to eat at all. Their weights dropped drastically. Khaled said, "I passed out from starvation." He was rescued by some neighbors who gave him sugar, some bread, and canned beef. Without anyone to provide for them, the children moved southwards. They did not know where to go, so they just followed others. Along the way, they succeeded in meeting up with an uncle. Eventually, they arrived in Deir al-Balah. They are living in a tent. Abida Abu Esma, 67, had to leave her home in Gaza City's Beish refugee camp during the current war. She was staying at a school located in Jabalia area when it was invaded by the Zionist regime troops. Her husband was taken into detention during the invasion. Abida's husband had previously been imprisoned for 7 years by the Zionist regime. Initially, she remained at the Jabalia school after the Zionist regime troops took her husband away, yet she had to leave it when food ran out completely. She fell during her journey of evacuation. A paramedic helped her, and she tried to walk again, but it was too painful. As a result, the paramedic had to carry her on his back until they reached Deir al-Balah. She is taking shelter in another school there. Books from its library are being burnt for heat and for cooking. Her husband remains in detention, and she hopes she will still be alive when he is released. she said. At least we won't die of hunger here in the south. It would be better to be killed by bombing than by starvation.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another special edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this special edition during the holy month of Ramadan, we will be having a look at different parts of the supplication Abu Hamza Sumali. We will be bringing you different commentaries on some parts of this dua. We'll be back after you listen to these parts.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Ilahi Law qarantani bil asfad ومنعتني سيبك من بين الأشهاد ودللت على فضائحي عيون العباد وأمرت بي إلى النار وحلت بيني وبين الأبرار ما قطعت رجائي منك وما صرفت تأميلي للعفو عنك ولا خرج حبك من قلبي أنا لا أنسى أياديك عندي وسترك علي في دار الدنيا.
Dear listeners, as you were previously with us, we were talking about this excerpt of the supplication of Abu Hamza Thumali. إلهي لو قرنتني بالأصفاد ومنعتني سيبك من بين الأشهاد. Oh Allah, if I were to be tied up with chains, if I were to be cut off from the flowing stream of your bounties, وَدَلَلْتَ عَلَى فَضَائِهِ عُيُونَ الْعِبَادِ, and people were all eyes to see how I am exposed to infamy and disgrace, وَأَمَرْتَ بِي إِلَى النَّارِ, even if you were to order me to proceed to hell, وَحُلْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْأَبْرَارِ, even if you set a barrier between me and the pious ones, even then, ما قطعت رجائي منك, I would not cease to have hope. وما صرفت تأميلي للعفو عنك, it would not stop me from expecting your pardon. ولا خرج حبك من قلبي, and it would not make the love of you to be removed from my heart. أنا لا أنسى أياديك عندي وسترك علي في دار الدنيا. I have not forgotten your bounties and your protection and concealment that you made available for me in this world. We said in the previous episode that Imam alayhi salam is practically teaching us how to nurture the love of God in our hearts. First, أَنَا لَا أَنْسَى يَدِيكَ عِنْدِي, I have not forgotten your bounties, your things that you bestowed upon me in this world. And the second, وَسَتْرَكَ عَلَيَّ فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا. So we were discussing the first one, which is not forgetting the Almighty Allah's blessings, His blessings and His concealment of our lapses both together. Now, we should remember that His blessings are so much that we cannot think of ourselves without them. Even if we spend lots of our times, most of our time, even if we spend all our lives trying to thank God for these blessings, we cannot even try to count them, to remember all of them. Then how would it be possible for us to thank the Almighty Allah, both theoretically and practically, for these blessings? So we cannot express our gratitude practically for the Almighty Allah's blessings. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, فَآلَاؤُكَ جَمَّةٌ ضَعُفَ لِسَانِي عَنْ إِحْسَائِهَا. O Allah, Your bounties are so abundant that my tongue is too weak to count them. وَنَعْمَاؤُكَ كَثِيرَةٌ قَصُرَ فَهْمِي عَنْ إِدْرَاكِهَا فَضْلًا عَنْ إِسْتِقْصَائِهَا. Your favors are so many that my understanding falls short of grasping them, not to speak of exhausting them. فَكَيْفَ لِي بِتَحْسِيلِ الشُّكْرِ. O Allah, so how can I achieve thanksgiving? So one of the ways that we can better realize the blessings of God is to compare ourselves with those that are deprived of those blessings. By doing so, we will find out what great blessings God the Exalted has endowed us with, which others are deprived of. So we must pay heed to these blessings, that, and this is what engenders the love of God and sense of gratitude and hope in our hearts.
Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
The ocean of dua.
This first way of nurturing the love of God in our hearts is what is reflected in other parts of Dua Abu Hamza Thumali. For example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam mentions the blessings of Allah and says, "Ana as-saghir alladhi rabbayta." O Master, I am the young one whom you raised. "Ana al-jahil alladhi 'allamta." I am the ignorant one whom you have educated. You see, Imam alayhi salam is counting the blessings and bounties of the Almighty Allah one by one. أَنَا الضَّالُ الَّذِي هَدَيْتَ. I am the misled one whom you guided. أَنَا الْوَضِيعُ الَّذِي رَفَعْتَ. I am the humiliated one whom you elevated. أَنَا الْخَائِفُ الَّذِي أَمَنْتَ. I am the frightened one whom you have safeguarded. وَالْجَائِعُ الَّذِي أَشْبَعْتَ. I am the hungry one whom you fed. أَنَا الْعَطْشَانُ الَّذِي أَرْوَيْتَ. I am the thirsty one whose thirst you quenched. وَالْعَارِ الَّذِي كَسَوْتَ. I was the naked one whom you dressed. I was the poor one whom you made wealthy. And I was weak, but you strengthened. I was insignificant, but you honored. And I was afflicted, but you cured. So, apart from increasing our love for the Almighty Allah, we must pay heed to these blessings. And this will engender the love of the Almighty Allah in our hearts. And this will make this kind of love permanent. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
The Zionist regime has seriously hindered the work of humanitarian agencies by blocking aid, targeting and killing humanitarian workers, destroying Palestinian food production, and cutting off Gaza's north, reducing Palestinians there to eating animal feed, bird seed, and leaves, unfit for human consumption. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "The Zionist regime's genocidal campaign in Gaza has entered its 6 months with around 31,000 Palestinian fatalities recorded since October 7th and no ceasefire on the horizon at the start of Ramadan. At least 25 Palestinians have been starved to death in Gaza due to the Zionist regime's engineered famine, among them 18 children. The children include a baby girl and a 10-year-old boy with cerebral palsy, according to the health ministry in Gaza. According to Defense for Children International Palestine, the true death toll due to starvation is feared to be much higher, as many Palestinians, particularly in northern Gaza, face famine and are almost entirely cut off from the limited humanitarian aid entering Gaza through the southern Rafah crossing. Meanwhile, the Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to invade Rafah, where more than 1 million displaced people are concentrated along the border with Egypt. Israel bombed one of the largest residential high-rises in Rafah early on Saturday, March 9th, displacing dozens of families and raising fears that a ground invasion in the area may be imminent. The UN Human Rights Office said recently, "Any ground assault on Rafah would incur massive loss of life and would heighten the risk of further atrocity crimes. This must not be allowed to happen." Recently, South Africa filed its latest application to the International Court of Justice, urging the principal judicial organ of the United Nations to issue additional and amended provisional measures in light of new facts in its genocide complaint against the Zionist regime. The court declined to issue additional provisional measures after an application made by South Africa in mid-February, the judges stating that the perilous situation demands immediate and effective implementation of the provisional measures indicated confiscated by the court in its order of January 26. In its application last week, South Africa states that the situation then perilous is now so terrifying as to be unspeakable, as described by United Nations humanitarian chiefs justifying and indeed demanding the indication of further provisional measures of protection. South Africa called for a response to the Zionist regime's continuing violations and contempt for the court's interim ruling issued in late January, which found that the Zionist regime was plausibly carrying out a genocide in Gaza and ordered it to halt all genocidal acts. The provisional measures specifically order the Zionist regime to stop killing or causing serious bodily or mental harm to Palestinians in Gaza, prevent and punish incitement to commit genocide, take immediate and effective measures to enable basic services and humanitarian assistance and prevent the destruction of and ensure the preservation of evidence. The court also ordered the Zionist regime to submit a report to the tribunal on its compliance with the provisional measures within 1 month. South Africa argues in its latest application, the extreme gravity of the situation facing Palestinian men, women, children and babies, and the existential risk of the Palestinian people in Gaza as part of the Palestinian national or ethnic group faced as a result of Israel's genocidal military campaign demands further action by the court. South Africa compares its intervention with a similar one made by Bosnia in 1993, in which the tribunal was told that this will be the last opportunity that this court shall have to save both the people and the state of Bosnia and Herzegovina from extermination and annihilation by means of genocide. God will record your response to our request for the rest of eternity. It states, South Africa fears that this application may be the last opportunity that this court shall have to save the Palestinian people in Gaza, already dying of starvation and now one step from famine. In the Bosnia case, the court declined to order additional provisional measures. In the 2 years that followed, South Africa states, approximately 7,336 Bosnians in the so-called safe area of Srebrenica had been slaughtered in what this court retrospectively determined to have a genocide. The cost in human lives will likely be even higher in Gaza should the status quo persist. Since the court's preliminary ruling was made on January 26, the Zionist regime killed around 4,550 Palestinians and wounded more than 7,550, bringing the grim totals to 30,631 killed and 72,043 injured, South Africa states in its application. Israel has not changed its conduct materially or at all pursuant to the order. It has instead doubled down on its genocidal aims and acts and thus shown its contempt for the court. South Africa adds, noting that senior Israeli officials have poured the scorn on the court and its order. South Africa requests in its application that the court order an immediate halt to all fighting and hostilities and demand that all hostages and detainees be released immediately. South Africa also calls for a provisional measure ordering parties to the Genocide Convention to comply with their obligations. It also asks the court to make more specific calls in regard to its earlier order on the Zionist regime to take immediate and effective measures to ensure the provision of basic services and humanitarian assistance to Palestinians in Gaza. In its application, South Africa identifies new facts and changes in the situation in Gaza, including the starvation death of children, predicting that they will increase exponentially and not linearly in the absence of a cessation of military activities and a lifting of the blockade. South Africa also notes that the Zionist regime's deliberate attempts to shut down the work of the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, on whom the vast majority of besieged, displaced, and starving Palestinian men, women and children and babies depend for their survival. The Zionist regime has also seriously hindered the work of humanitarian agencies by blocking aid, targeting and killing humanitarian workers, destroying Palestinian food production and cutting off Gaza's north, reducing Palestinians there to eating animal feed, bird, seed and leaves, unfit for human consumption. South Africa also observes that Israel has attacked crowds of desperate Palestinians attempting to access humanitarian aid, including the flour massacre of 118 people gathered for food assistance on February 29th. Palestinian civil society groups have meanwhile catalogued myriad Israeli violations since the International Court of Justice's January 26 interim ruling. This includes the Zionist regime's forces killing 14 journalists as of March 5th, four slain on the same day, as well as two lawyers working for the Palestinian Center for Human Rights who lost their lives in separate strikes on residential buildings, their families killed alongside them. In another of the deadliest attacks during the last 5 months, the Zionist regime warplanes and warships repeatedly struck Rafah in southern Gaza on February 17th, killing 83 Palestinians, including 27 children, amongst them displaced Palestinians who were sleeping in their tents, according to the Palestinian human rights and advocacy groups. Days earlier, Israeli regime troops ordered a Palestinian detainee, Jamal Al-Din Mohammed Abu Ola, to enter Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis while handcuffed to tell those inside to evacuate. According to the Palestinian groups, as he was walking outside the hospital, still inside the gates, he was killed by an Israeli soldier in front of his mother. The Palestinian Ministry of Health reported that Israeli snipers killed another three Palestinians at the hospital on the same day.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be looking at a very important question, and that question is concerned with the blessed month that we are currently in. In other words, the month of Ramadan. As you know, the month of Ramadan has commenced. We are in its beginning. And here at IRIB English Radio and The Key, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners a hearty congratulations on this most auspicious month. As you know, the month of Ramadan is one of the most important, or rather the most important month in the Islamic calendar. In fact, the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of Sha'ban, when there were only 3 days left till the month of Ramadan, he told his companion Bilal, call all the people. So the people gathered together, and the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mounted the pulpit, praised Allah and glorified him, then continued, O people, this month that is coming upon you is the chief of all months. One particular night in it is better than 1,000 months. So this hadith, it it tells us that the month of Ramadan is the best of months. The question we want to ask today is this: why is this month so special? Why is it so significant? In some of our previous sessions, we looked at a couple of ways in which why this month is so significant. The first was that this is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed as a whole upon the heart of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And you know, the Quran is guidance for mankind. It guides human beings to that which is better for them in this world and in the hereafter. This is one of the significances of this month. Another is that this is the month in which fasting, Sawm, has been made obligatory upon all of us. This is another important part of Ramadan. And the last aspect of Ramadan that we mentioned was very made it very significant, was the fact that in the month of Ramadan, the chances of one's repentance being accepted are very high. We want to elaborate on this a little bit further. It's been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us one day saying, "O people, verily the month of God has come to you with benediction, mercy, and forgiveness. A month that is the best of months in the sight of God, whose days are the best of days, whose nights are the best of nights, and whose hours are the best of hours. It is the month wherein you have been invited to a banquet of God and have been made worthy of Allah's magnanimity. Your breaths during this month are considered glorification of God, and your sleep worship. Your actions in it are accepted, and your supplications answered." Upon hearing this, I stood up, meaning Imam Ali stood up, and asked, "O Prophet of God, what is the best of deeds to be performed in this month?" Now, we'll leave that for later on. In some of our forthcoming sessions, we might analyze that. But as you can see, in this month, God Almighty has promised us forgiveness if we ask Him for it. And this is what makes this month so very important and so very significant. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the reasons for the significance of the month of Ramadan in the light of the Quran and Hadith. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, in the program The Key on RIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.